The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, أو you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the topic that we've had the opportunity to be discussing is that of an Islamic lifestyle, a lifestyle of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Yesterday, we began by looking at the story of one of the martyrs of Karbala. His name was Yazid ibn Ziyad. And if you remember, he was somebody who made that journey. He went from the path of falsehood to the path of righteousness. He crossed the lines and he went over to the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And if you remember, when he was going for his last battle, his battle cry included a statement of his purpose, and it included, he referred to the transformation that had taken place. And he says that I am Tariq and I'm Hajir from Umar ibn Sa'd. I'm leaving him aside. I'm done with him. And now I'm going towards Hussein ibn Ali. And that was a physical thing, meaning he was actually leaving that side and he was going to this side. But it also, we can look at that and say that, okay, there's a choice being made here, a transformation, a movement from one side to the other. So yesterday we talked about one of the prerequisites, which is to start to become aware of some of those things that drag us back, that keep us chained down. Because if we're not able to identify these as a first step, and then second of all, work with the help of Allah at trying to address them, then we're not going to be able to move forward. We talked about some of the customs and some of the traditions and some of the habits that we may have. And we spoke a little bit about what we can do to address those. If you notice, we didn't talk too much about the how, and that's somewhat intentional. Sometimes we come to the speeches, the idea isn't that we get everything from the speech, it's not possible. But at least we should get that impetus, that motivation. A number of, some of the mu'mineen who, were reflecting on it, you know, they had this question in mind. So now what? So what do I do? And that's a good question to have. And sometimes this becomes like an opportunity for inquiry, for like looking into, for investigation. I now have some question marks that I'm taking away from my Muharram experience, which now I'm going to be working on. And inshallah, it's something that will continue even beyond these nights. Now, in order to introduce the topic for today, which of course is related to this overall topic of the lifestyle, I want to again use the example of somebody from among the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was known as Burair al-Hamadani. Burair was somebody who was always with the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam. And just to show you his dedication to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he found out that Imam Hussein was in Makkah, he had left Medina and then he was in Makkah, he left Kufa at that time. And he went to join Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and from then on, he was with Imam Hussein. You know, from Makkah, how they left and they went towards Kufa, the whole time he was with them. Burair was somebody who was a teacher of Quran. He was known for this. Like, he was deeply like immersed in it. They say that he would even be involved with tafsir of the Quran. He would explain it to the people. And of course, you know, he was a great support to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And if you just study like his statements along the way, at key times, there are some companions who they speak you know, and they are like the, you could say the Malik Ashtar of, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam. They're these companions who are like the Malik Ashtar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They're there for him in all circumstances. Now, there's a very interesting incident that takes place on the day of Ashura itself with Burair al-Hamadani and one of the other companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I believe his name was Abdul Rahman. Now, Abdul Rahman and Burair were together. This is the day of Ashura. It's very clear that today is going to be the day, the last day that they live on this earth. And Burair notices that his friend, you know, his fellow companion, Abdul Rahman, that he's looking down. And maybe he senses that he needs some motivation to be able to, like, you know, do what he needs to do. So he starts to, you know, say some words to kind of lighten him up a bit. And Abdul Rahman reacts in a negative way. And he sort of like scolds him. And he says, Burair, like, what are these things that you're saying here? You know, you're not one to like say things which are foolish. And, you know, what, this is not the time for like joking around or anything like that. So Burair's response is very interesting. He first says something and then he addresses Abdul Rahman's point. First of all, he says that, Abdul Rahman, if you go back and you ask the people who know me, you ask my people, you ask my tribe, you ask my friends, my family, ever since the time that I was a young person, I was never somebody who would just say things like that. I was somebody, you can ask anybody, I'm not one, when I speak with thought, I speak with purpose. It doesn't mean that he never says anything light and he never jokes or jests. No, that's part of speech. But he's not somebody to just speak without thought. But he says that, look at Abdul Rahman, we're in the situation right now. It's just a matter of time. And we've been promised Jannah for the sacrifice that we're doing here. What is there to not be happy about? To not be looking for this? Of course, his goal here is psychological. He wants to, you know, maybe he senses that Abdul Rahman might be like held back because of his negative emotions at that time. Now, brother and sister, if you, you know, just to bring up the question again that we raised a couple of nights ago, that these companions are coming from different backgrounds, different cities, different ages, even, you know, according to some reports, different religions. But what is it that ties them together? What is it that enables them to have this tawfiq, this God-given divine opportunity to be able to participate in this like incredible, like just undescribable opportunity? That's where we try to understand, you know, that what are the characteristics that they had? The one characteristic that I want to focus on today is something that's reflected in Burair's own conduct, which is that of having adab. So that's the topic for today is adab. Now, adab is a word that has certain meanings, and sometimes in different languages, it has a different meaning than what's intended, you know, especially in the Arabic language when it was spoken in the time of the revelation of the Quran and at the time of, you know, our Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So it's important for us to understand what we mean by adab. Let me first talk about what we don't mean. So sometimes adab is translated as manners. And manners has a kind of negative connotation in our society, right? Like manners is sort of looked down as like, oh, that's kind of something from, you know, a few decades ago. You know, what is this thing like focus on manners? And manners is very superficial as well too, kind of like a lot of formality unnecessary. Now, part of adab does include learning how to have manners, but it's not just manners. That's one thing. The other thing is sometimes adab is translated as etiquette, right? Now, etiquette also is a closer translation to adab, because etiquette refers to the way that you ought to do something. But etiquette also, you know, it's sort of very, it's one of those terminologies which doesn't have like a basis. It's not anchored to anything. You know, somebody might have a certain etiquette because that's the what they're taught in their culture, and somebody else might have another etiquette. And then, you know, this person, for example, you know, moving your head down in some places, you know, if you're trying to get a taxi, right? And if you put your hand, you know, up like this, right? It means that, yes, please come and, you know, take me in your taxi. Sometimes it means that, no, please go away, right? So you have to know these type of etiquette in order to, like, get a taxi. Otherwise, the wrong thing is going to be happening.
Swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.